Good morning. We have been talking about this this Greek word. Before that, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and I thought that was a great series. I'm still kind of tinkering with that a little bit, but I came across this word, Spiritu, and it means it's translated as our very breath. Our life-giving force, our spirit, the thing that makes us tick. And so we've been talking about that over the last few weeks. We've talked about our aspirations, our goals, and our dreams. And we talked about our inspiration, the spark, the thing that excites us and gets us moving. And we talked about where to find them. And the fact of the matter is we all have hopes and dreams. And so when I think of the word dreams, and I'm preparing a message, I'll just type in a Google word like dreams. And of course, a lot of the first thing was the most famous speech about dreams is Martin Luther's speech, "I Have a Dream." So I listened to that a few times and read it over and read the text. And, I'm not going to go through that whole speech, but the fact of the matter is that speech changed the world. That dream that he had changed the world. It's not perfect today by any means, but a man with a dream made a major impact. And the fact of the matter is without dreams, we perish. Without that thing, without that foresight, without that hope, we got nothing. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, I like the King James Version better because it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And dreams are not always I should say this: dreams are what we are supposed to have as Christians. We talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And in Acts chapter 2, 17, it actually is quoting Joel. It says, "In the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." It's what is supposed to be taking place. As a matter of fact, if you have no vision, if you have no hope, if you have no dream, if the Lord hasn't shared with you something that you're supposed to be doing, let's fix that. We need to be praying about that. That's where your prayer needs to be, because that's how it's supposed to be working. One thing I have noticed is that as you get to know a person, and I used to experiment with this in college a lot, and when I was younger, I would start poking at people, asking them questions, trying to find out who they are. And a lot of times when you meet someone afresh in church, when a stranger comes in the door that you haven't seen before, you say, "How are you?" And one of the first things you do is you talk about the weather, or you talk about what they do for a living. But the fact of the matter is what you do for a living has very little to do with who you are. As you get to know a person, they will tell you their dreams. They will tell you their hopes, what they hoped for and did or did not get. And a lot of times, how well a person is doing in their life is dependent directly on whether or not their hopes and dreams were fulfilled. One of the things that we need to talk about, though, is where our dreams come from. One of the first things we discussed in this series was where to get your dreams. In Proverbs chapter 37, verse 4, it says, "Take delight in the Lord." That's the first source. Our hopes and dreams, the thing that we need to get our joy from, is not any substitution. It's not in a bottle. It's not in anything you smoke. It's not in even going to the parties. It's not in good jokes. It's not in any of that stuff. The real source of our delight needs to be the Lord. And as we give ourselves over to Him, this verse tells us that He will give us the desires of our heart. I love that because it's actually a complex statement in the original language. It means that as we find joy in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. He will give us the thing that we want to do when we grow up, so to speak. He'll give you a real purpose. He'll give us real goals to find that fulfillment. And then not only does He give us those desires, He gives us those desires. He brings those things to fruition. When I was, I can't even say when I was younger, this is a few years ago, I had this dream. And in this dream, I was standing in my parking lot where we were living, and I jumped and didn't land. I started to fly. It was very exciting. I love that dream. I start to fly, and I remember there were telephone cords in the ways, and I had to maneuver my way around them. And some man came up to me, and I had become concerned because I learned how to fly, but I couldn't figure out how to get down again. So that was concerning to me. But in this dream, I was flying, and this individual came up and started telling me what I needed to do. They started instructing me on how to fly. And I remember looking down at him and saying, "I'm the one flying. You're on the ground." But that being said, that dream is not a God dream. I doubt very seriously. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But today, I'm not going to flap my arms and start flying around the room. I don't expect that. So maybe that's a lack of faith or whatever you want to call it. But that particular dream isn't necessarily a dream that's going to happen. So sometimes our dreams are just what they are. There are our hopes. I hope to fly someday. I really, really hope that when we go to heaven, that's one of the things that takes place, because I really want it to happen. So flying. But then I had this other dream that was given to me. And I've often talked about the things I've wanted to be when I grow up, from a doctor to an architect to an artist to a person who partied a lot and didn't have any worries about income. I had all these hopes and aspirations. And I remember the day I got saved, I got up from, it would have been here, and went to where I was going to sit, and it was a couple rows back, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Nobody else heard it, but to me it was louder than any audible voice that could be heard. And He said to me, "Feed my sheep." And in that moment, I knew that, now there's nothing wrong with being an architect. That's what I wanted to be at the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But at that point in time, it did not fit what God was calling me to. It just didn't fit. I had to do something else. He gave me a desire in my heart that has never stopped. And I got to tell you, everything I've ever tried to get away from that didn't work. It didn't work. I have been a chef, and I think a pretty good one. I had been a manager, and I think a pretty good one. I went to nursing school. I did very well on the tests. But every single time I thought maybe I should do something else, I failed miserably. Because the fact of the matter is, the only place we're going to find fulfillment is in the dreams and the hopes that God has already given us. So we've talked about the inspirations. We've talked about that little spark. Because sometimes that thing happens in a day where someone comes up and they say out loud, "For some strange reason, I've been an addict. I've been clean for 18 days. The thing that amazes me most about things like that is, why in the world did they tell you that? Why? It's because the Lord yanked that out of them so that you could put something into them. And those times are thrilling. And those are sparks. Those make us get up and say a little bit louder, "That was a blast, Lord. Let's do it again." It's fun stuff to be working as a mouthpiece or a handpiece of the Lord. But sometimes the journey is long. I have tried to fly a number of times. I always land. I keep jumping. I keep landing. It hasn't worked for me. So that one's going to take a while. I could spend all day talking about how long and the obstacles that I had. All I wanted to do when I was 17 years old and the Lord said, "Feed my sheep," at that moment I wanted to be a pastor. At that moment, not just a little bit. I didn't just a little bit want to be speaking the word of God to people. It was all I was. It was all it had to be. I needed to put all my eggs in that basket. And I have met challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. It's been hard. Some of them I did. Some of them other people did. Some of them was I was just on pause, not really preparing myself. The list goes on and on. Like I said, I can spend all day, lots and lots of obstacles. Doesn't matter what they were. Fact of the matter is, I've learned this. Every obstacle that we face, every single one, every challenge, every shut door, all of it was a pathway to greater blessings and an opening for the correct doors to fulfill His promise, all of it. Every stumbling block, whether or not I did it or someone else did it, it was because God planned it so that He could bring me to this date, telling you that you have hopes and dreams that God wants to fulfill. And you might look back on your life and say, it was hard, there's been challenges, I'm a failure, my sin is too big, their sin is too big, I'm just angry because of the things they did. The list and list could go on, but the fact of the matter is, God is you here right now so that you can look at your dreams, the ones that He gave you, the ones that bring you fulfillment, and He's going to bring them to fruition. So the question is, how do we keep it going when we meet those challenges? When we meet those challenges and it seems too hard, and we think that we failed too much, and we think that maybe the Lord can't use us anymore, but we still have that spark in us that wants to do something. How do we get through all that? And so today we're in Genesis chapter 37, and it's the best story of this that I know. And I'm not going to read the chapters of information that this character has, and most of you probably know the story, but it's about Joseph. Joseph was he was a man who had dreams, and so this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, and it says this right in the beginning, verses 2-4. So I'm going to read parts of it. It says, Joseph, a young man of 17, young man, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to them. So Joseph was a young man. He was at 17 when this is taking place. As 17-year-olds know, luckily my son isn't there yet, but most 17s know that they know everything. Everything. I have this coworker. He's 23 years old, and it's hilarious because no matter what you say, he is going to tell you a better way because he has forgotten that the people around him have forgotten more than he knows. And that's just the way it is. And we tell him that all the time, and he actually agrees that that's true. He's a good guy, but all the time, if you're shoveling, there's a better way to shovel. You're parking cars, there's a better way to park cars. It's just the way he is. I apologize to you now. Sorry, I didn't say your name. But this father he kind of fed this problem that Joseph was going to have. Joseph was the miracle baby. All these other sons were born, and there had been some years, and that family had gone through some struggles, but now they were in a good place, and here's Joseph. All the other sons have grown up, but here's this Joseph, and he's so thrilled that he has this miracle baby. He can raise his son right and provide him all the stuff. He makes a great robe for him, and it's perceived, as the Word of God says, that Joseph loved him more. That's a horrible thing to feel if you're the other brothers. Great thing if you're Joseph. So he makes this ornate robe, and it says the brothers could not say a kind word. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't go, Joseph, that's a nice robe. They could say, Joseph, I want to kill you. They couldn't say anything nice. And sometimes we have those challenges that sometimes on either side, maybe we have the dream, maybe we have the hope, But the other people around us are going, Rich, Joseph, Mary Ellen, Joanna, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, you're just not good enough. One of my goals for this year is to not listen to those voices anymore. They just don't make any sense. If you have a dream from the Lord, anybody who's telling you to not do that dream, not pursue that dream, they're not right. So maybe you're that guy, or maybe you're the person looking at the dream. You're looking at the Joseph and the people that has the hope, and you're the person that just hates them. We got to try to not be that person. So now we're going to talk about the dream. Joseph had a dream. This is in verses 5 through 11. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. This time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. One thing I want to point out is those dreams weren't Joseph's fault. It's not, he went to sleep, and the dream comes. It's nothing he can really do about it. Now, he's 17 and thinks he knows everything. He might have been a little bit wiser for him to just shut up. Would it have changed God's hopes and dreams for Joseph if Joseph didn't mention those hopes and dreams? No, I don't think so. But no, he's 17, and he just, in his immaturity, said, "Hey, brothers, you're all going to bow down to me. You might as well start now." So it was God's dreams for Joseph's life, and it was the dream that was going to lead him through the rest of his life. And that's what I mean when I say, God will grant you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires. And if you're going on different desires, then you're aiming too low. God has a better plan, a better purpose, a better dream for you. And when you're pursuing that dream, that's when you're being all that you can be. So it was God's dream for Joseph's life. Now, we have challenges to our dreams. First of all, sometimes our family doesn't see it. They look at, you know, me or you, and they have grown up with you your whole life, and you say, "I'm going to do this with my life." The people around you will go, "That's really not possible. It's just, you're just not." They go, "Mr. Rich, I'm glad you have that dream, but you are the most disorganized person I know. So how is that going to happen?" My response is, I don't know. God's going to make it happen. Sometimes your family is a little bit jealous. I'll tell you a story on my mother. My mother was a great mother, by the way, but there was a day when I met my wonderful wife, and she did this thing to coffee that my mother would never do and used real half and half. It was too big for her. I remember her telling me, "Mary, why does she use that real half and half?" It's because that's where my mother was. So sometimes people don't see the things that they're supposed to see. And they acted it out through speech. Sometimes your family and your friends will just say stuff right to your face, why you cannot follow this dream. Your job is to not listen. Sometimes they're going to bring it out through action. We know the story of what they did to Joseph. They were out in the field, and Joseph went searching for them, and they saw Joseph in a distance, and they said, "I think we should kill him. Let's just stab him dead and leave him to rot. And then, you know, we'll be all, we don't have to listen to this stupid dreamer. We don't have to do anything like that because, you know, God loves him more. Maybe I could get an ornate robe. So let's kill Joseph." Now, and we remember Reuben, who was the oldest, he didn't I don't know if he necessarily wanted to stand up for him, but he knew that that might be a little bit of overkill. So he said, let's not kill him. Let's tear his robe and throw him in this pit over here, this little cistern, this well that was dried. So that's what they chose to do. They said, let's just put him in this well. And while they're arguing about what to do to this guy, they see I want to say convoy, but let's call it a rich person on a camel. And here's the thing. What does it benefit us if we kill him? What's the real benefit there? Let's sell him. Let's do that instead. And so here's the issue. When someone comes to you and you're telling them their dream and they're saying they're getting jealous, they're getting, you know, a little worked up. I have this goal for my work. I want to be the second in sales this year I only say that because I think it's impossible to be the first. There's someone there that's just, they have a lot more time. But that being said, when I tell people that, they get mad at me. They actually see it not as me just sharing a hope that I might get it. They see it as a challenge and a competition. So suddenly, as I start to work towards a goal, so do they. And they tell me I can't do it. But what they're thinking about, and what the brothers of Joseph were thinking about, was their own personal gain. That's what they're thinking about. So recognize that. When people are saying, you can't do such and such, find out why they're saying that. And you'll find that a lot of times it's about jealousy. It's about, you know, they don't want you to step over them. You know, when you're giving those dreams that you're going to bow down to me someday, they're not going to take that very well. And they're not going to take it very well because, well, I want you to bow down to me. I'm your older brother, or whatever the case might be. So you look at their personal gain. So the challenge comes at the hand sometimes of people seeking their own benefits. Now, we also have the next challenge. So this one, we skip a chapter, go to chapter 39. And I'm just going to keep telling the story. You can read through it later. But we have this person that buys Joseph. And Joseph just does his job. He just does the thing he's doing in that situation, does the best that he can. And this Potiphar ends up giving him all the responsibility, gives him charge over all that he's doing. So he becomes the manager of managers for Potiphar. And he's apparently some attractive young guy. And so Potiphar's wife says, he's an attractive young guy. And so she starts putting her eyes on him and tries to get him to sleep with her. Horrible lady. She's deceived and she's doing things she shouldn't be doing. And at some point she's in the room with him, and like she grabs his robe, says, come with me. And he goes, runs. And as we know the story, the Potiphar's wife, holding the robe of Joseph as Joseph is running off, says, look what he did to me. And he goes to jail. So that's the whole story in a nutshell. You can read it yourself. First, I want to talk about, here's our challenges. So our first challenge comes from external, our friends and our families, and they're telling us we can't, and they don't help us when maybe they could help us. And they're actually against us, seeking their own gain and not seeking our gain. That is not how we're supposed to act, but that's what's going on. So now we have another one. This particular one points to a lust of the flesh. But I want to say it could be anything. It could be, I don't want to do anything. It could be, I want to be lazy. It could be, you know, maybe he's putting the finger on you so that you can pray more. So that when you wake up in the morning and you remember that Pastor Rich said I should pray that the Holy Spirit leads me. And you look and you go, well, I don't really want that to take place because that might be weird. So you don't. Or whatever the case might be. Whatever your hope and dream is, maybe you don't want to work towards that. So anything of your flesh could be a challenge to that hopes and dreams. Now, the other thing I want to point out, of course, is Joseph did the right thing. Sometimes we like to toy with the enemy a little bit. We like to come close. I like to, if I am doing well on my diet, I stay away from the cookie plate. I don't even get near the cookie plate. If I'm smart, I'll be in the opposite side of the room or a different room altogether. But if I'm not doing well, if I'm thinking about it, I might like look at them kind of like I want one. I know when I was doing well on my diet, occasionally they would order pizza and wings and bread and all that stuff that I was not supposed to be eating, and so I would just go into the room and smell it. That's toying with the enemy. That's toying with the trouble. Not that pizza or wings is sinful. I love pizza and wings. I don't think there's anything wrong with them at all. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body, but what comes out of it. But that being said, the lust of the flesh, whatever it is, that earthly desire can keep you away from your dreams. And so when that earthly desire comes upon you, flee the earthly desire. Don't toy with it. Just get away. I'm always amazed at that story of Adam and Eve, you know, where they're told not to eat the fruit. They have one command. That's all you have to do. There's a tree. There's fruit on it. Don't eat it. That's all you have to do. Go to the other side of the garden. Keep naming your animals. God's going to keep bringing them. Keep doing the thing you're supposed to be doing. Don't go near the tree. But nope, there they are right next to the tree. Stupidest thing ever. Run away from those things that are keeping you from your dream. So while he's in jail, here's the other thing. This one's hard. This one's hard. Because sometimes you do everything right and you still go to jail. That's a hard one. That's why I said in the beginning that when one of the things that I've learned, all of the challenges, all the obstacles, all the things that I've faced that were challenges for me getting to where God has called me to be, all of those things, eventually God works for good. So sometimes you do what you're supposed to be doing, and God puts you in a place that does not look good. So he goes to jail. And while he's in jail, again, he does such a great job. I don't know how a jail, I've never been to jail, so I don't know how this situation works. But the jail keeper, the warden, liked Joseph so much that he put him in charge of all the prisoners. That's kind of weird. Isn't that the warden's job? But anyways, so he's in charge of all the prisoners. And while he's there, there's these two people, these two comrades. These people, they're kind of in this hard situation. So I can imagine they're linking arms. Let's get through this together. There's a cupbearer and a baker, and they both have dreams. And Joseph has this gift, this interpretation of dreams. And he says to the cupbearer, you're going to go and your position is going to be restored. And he says to the baker, sorry, buddy, you're going to die. They're going to raise your body on a stick and it's going to be eaten by birds. I'd hate to be the baker in that moment, but, you know, I guess he knew what was coming. But those dreams came true. And so you would think the cupbearer, because that's what Joseph wanted him to do. You would think this cupbearer would say, you know what, we had this dream. I knew this was going to happen. You should listen to this guy. If you have a dream, he's going to tell you what it means, and it's going to come to pass. But the cupbearer forgets. I don't know why he forgets. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe he was afraid of what happened to the baker would happen to him, but he doesn't tell the Pharaoh. And so his buddy forgets, his comrade. And so sometimes that happens. Sometimes we have these great gifts, these wonderful things that we can do with these, maybe it's speaking in tongues and having interpretations. Maybe it's a word of encouragement when a person needs a word of encouragement that has a real impact. And there's lots of gifts. We've talked about that when we talked about the Holy Spirit. You all have at least one that if you feed that gift that God is giving you, if you use it, it just grows. And the Bible says it'll actually bring you before great people. So here we have Joseph still in jail because the cupbearer forgot or whatever, didn't say anything. So sometimes we can feel that we're forgotten, we're overlooked. I remember when I first was called to preaching, I believed that I should be preaching more. And there were times when I felt like other people were picked in front of me or eat my skills or my talents were overlooked. And that's just the way I felt. And maybe you have felt those things as well. The fact of the matter is, God has a right time for you. He has a right time for your gift to be used to the fullness of its ability. You're only forgotten temporarily. God has never forgotten you. And the fact of the matter is, in this case, everything comes together at the right time. What's going on that Joseph can't see? That's the whole thing. Joseph can't see any of this. He's just experiencing it. We get to look back and read about it. But God knows that a drought is coming. And so the Pharaoh has a dream. And he goes to all his wise men and he says, excuse me. No, he didn't say that. He said, please, he said, interpret my dream. So he went to the wise men, and the wise men, of course, could not. And the cupbearer, probably seeking opportunity, says, hey, I remember, and I know this guy. Remember when I was in jail, and you killed the baker, and you brought me here? There was a guy in jail that could interpret the dreams. He knew all that was going to take place. And so Pharaoh calls him, and Pharaoh gives him the dream, and he talks about there's going to be these years of plenty, and then there's going to be years of drought. And so Joseph said during these years of plenty, you need to be storing up all the grain that you can. Get all the grain that you can and just store it up. And then there's going to be drought. And then when the drought came, the entire world was coming to the Pharaoh to get this grain because it was the only place to get food. And in the middle of all that, as the story goes, his brothers have to go to Joseph, who they think is dead, to get the grain. And the story goes on, and Joseph is restored to the family, and Joseph gets to restore all of Israel. And the fact of the matter is his first dreams come true. His brothers bow down to him. His parents bow down to him. Not because Joseph was amazing, but just because that's what happened. If Joseph would have known exactly how that dream was going to come about when he was 17 years old, maybe he could have been a little bit kinder to his brothers. But the fact of the matter is, it was just a dream he had. In conclusion, God has a right time for you. Everything that you experience, success or failure while, is bringing you to your dream. I want to note just a few things. One is, Joseph dreamed God's dream for his life. It wasn't his hope. Joseph, I don't think he got up and said, I hate my family, I want you to bow down to me because I'm better than you all. I don't think that's what was taking place. I think God gave him a dream. God gave him a passion. He didn't know how it was going to come about, but God gave him a dream, and he is, or has, given you dreams. I believe it. I don't know what that dream might be. It might be just that your family does well in life. It might be that, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't know what your dream is. It might be, I have this dream that someday I'll preach in a stadium to thousands of people. I want that to happen once. I don't know if that's from God, but that being said, we all have dreams that God has called us to. Look for those and pursue them, and don't let anyone, anything, sway you from that dream, because God is bigger. Let the dream take care of itself. I'll tell you a story. I didn't think I was ever going to be a pastor again. Part of me, my human side, it wasn't going to happen. That's why I went to nursing school, because I figured at least as a nurse I can help people, maybe restore their health and occasionally pray for them, maybe something like that. And I wanted to be a nurse. And so I went to school, started passing all the tests. They made me the president of the student nursing group. But that's why I became a nurse. Tried to become a nurse was because I thought I would never be a pastor again, even though God had called me to be a pastor. And that failed miserably. It just did. I got on the wrong side of someone, and I got a challenge to becoming a nurse that since God that was not the direction God had for my life, it just fell apart. And then I remember Pastor Mike said to me, he said, there's this little church in Adams out there, and they're looking for people to preach out there. And I went, there it is. I knew at that moment.
You did.
At that moment, I knew I was going to be the pastor of this church. Now, there was other people. There was other people that were preaching here. And I remember going, well, I am not going to be Joseph. I am not going to walk in the doors of this church and go, I'm your new pastor. But I knew it. I knew it. And so I just sat back and I waited. And this thing happened, and I thought it wasn't going to take place, and the list goes on, and just stuff and stuff. And I had a peace going, well, I'm just going to let God take care of this himself. Let God do it. So, I don't know what your dream is. If you know what your dream is, I would love to hear it, and I'll support you in whatever your dream is. Whatever God wants you to be doing, I'm going to help you do that dream as best that I possibly can with the time I have. And that's the way it is. But if God has really given you that dream, you can have faith. There is nothing that's going to stop it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so that's all I got. Ended right on time. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this example that Joseph gives us, that that we can have a dream. And that dream, those dreams that are from you, are absolutely going to come to pass. We only have to, in our dreams, all we have to do is just take the next step. And when we find ourselves in the middle of our challenges, when our friends and our family come against us and they tell us that can't happen, we don't have to worry about it. We don't even have to be angry with them. We don't have to be frustrated. We just know that you're in control. And when we find ourselves in jail, we find ourselves in a spot that even though we did everything right, we seem further from our goal, further from our dream that could ever be, we can still do the things that we're supposed to be doing and watch your blessings happen to us every single day, Lord God, knowing that even our struggles, even our challenges are just stepstones to what you have called us to do. So, Lord, I just pray that you would give us peace, give us joy. And if there's any here, Lord God, that aren't feeling that spark, aren't feeling that hope, Lord God, help us to just breathe. Just do the next thing, Lord God. You're in control of our lives, and we give our lives over to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As usual, if you want prayer, I am up here to pray for you. So if you want prayer, you can just do that. If not, we're dismissed. Amen.